Blog Talk Radio.
Central in the legendary, historic, and beautiful city.
city of New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist hoodoo Obeah life path and journey, passing down the great Obeah stick and the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, and minerals. And please do join me live here from New Orleans, Louisiana on Blog Talk Radio on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. U.S. Central Standard Time. And, of course, here on Saturday evenings at 9 p.m. U.S. Central Standard Time for 1 hour of hoodoo secrets and recipes here on Blog Talk Radio. And every day at high noon for the Power Lunch. My listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. If you indeed have a question, comment, or request, press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and I will address you as Spirit does allow. My website, where I can be reached, utilizing various means, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year, operating in 360 degrees of divine manifestation and revelation, is www.houseofthedivineprince.com. I can also be reached via my main Keen profile at www.keen.com/divine-plus-prince, where I specialize in doing battle, difficult, and block situations of every type and endeavor, and I specialize in results. And please do be reminded that I have several other virtual temple groups within my House of the Divine Prince site. They are also listed on my main King profile, where I offer a variety of Pan-African and world spiritual, religious, and magical practitioners in one convenient location. And again, those links can be found at www.houseofthedivineprince.com and also my Keen profile, www.keen.com/divine-plus-prince. And of course, you can find the link for that on my website. Moving forward tonight with hoodoo secrets and recipes, I want to share with you something that has been on many of our minds, and particularly in my spirit, and that is the return of kings and gods, queens and goddesses. This is not a new concept. This is not a new thought process, but one that I believe has been with us since the beginning of recorded history, and maybe even before recorded and written history. Culture and religions worldwide talked about and prophesied the return of coming intelligent deities or beings who would reappear or emerge at critical stages in our development or evolution as a people, as humanity, as a planet. The ancient Egyptians prepared the body for its reanimation and return of spirit to the physical form, and spent and invested much resource and effort to achieve this end, thus providing us with the countless antiquities we now study and examine today and cherish with great reverence. Also, the ancient Mayans, too, left great empirical evidence of signs, experiences, and an awareness of something or someone returning from somewhere in our cosmos. And of course, this evidence can be found in many cultures worldwide. Ancient Egypt or Kemet and the Mayan civilization probably are our most enduring messages are carved in stone and still stand with us. But also, as I will attempt to share and explain with you tonight, I believe there is a profound reasoning why the Mayans sort of stand at the pinnacle of understanding of this transition. As I've said before, all knowledge exists in a circular, spherical existence, as it were, and religions, cultures, paths, and practices have but a piece of the pie, as it were, not the whole thing. One culture will develop a greater sense of math or numbers, another geomancy or geometry, some other form of divine gift, knowledge, or awareness. But I think for our own protection, our own sake, and we can often, you know, point to other symbolic stories that represent this philosophy, the Tower of Babel being one, where supposedly the world came together under one language and wanted to succeed what, according to the Bible says, was the quote-unquote bounds set by God for them at that time in understanding and awareness as they attempted to build this tower, this stairwell to the gods, as it were, to heaven, and thus scattered the languages. Now, whether we believe that story or not, or only can identify with it metaphorically, I think it at least shows some light on some time in our ancient awareness when there was a sense of unity, a sense of community globally across many boundaries of which are artificial in our now present understanding, but came together to achieve what they thought was a divine or higher purpose. But that's just one story. As we look around the globe of stories of visitation, of, in some cases, abduction, and in some cases, transfiguration or transportation. And I believe that these stories all feed into our basic religious structures, spiritual structures, and in many cases, our governmental structures. And I will quickly try and share this with you in the remaining 45 minutes of the show. Again, the ancient Mayans left empirical evidence of some understanding of time, cosmos, and the awareness of gods and kings returning at a later date. There is a recent documentary I was watching where they've discovered this. Well, they haven't just recently discovered the island, but are discovering an understanding of these stone structures on this particular island out in the Pacific. And in their studying these structures, they came to understand that the astrological alignment that has been foretold to come at December 21st, 2012 would only be viewed from this one high elevated location. And that for me is reason enough to look deeper, think deeper, meditate deeper on this Mayan perspective of what comes, what is coming ahead. I believe that it is also mirrored in stone in ancient Egypt. But the language, in some cases, is lost to us, or at least science has, for whatever reason, given more time, effort, and study to understanding the Mayan calendar and its system and how it plays out. So for me, above all stories, myths, legends, understandings about the coming time, the Mayan story stands out profoundly for me. particularly because of this astrological forecast, something which in my mind can't be manipulated in any way. It is what it is. We are just coming to a place of understanding of it and being able to read it and make sense of it. But as we look at astrology and how it has played out worldwide, we found some consistency there with astrology, astronomy, quantum metaphysics, and all those sciences that develop from that tree as a root. So evidence suggests that this returning has not only occurred before, but will definitely occur again, and it was believed will occur at this so-called end time dispensation. Now, many cults, cultures, religions, paths have talked about doomsday and end times. I'm not speaking about that specifically, but just more so an event of grand proportions, so grand that an ancient civilization, even before our modernized scientific development, was able to map something that would quite frankly only affect us, only be viewed by us from a certain perspective. And in my opinion, a message that was directed specifically at us. So we need only to open our eyes and our awareness, if you will, to the possibilities and to this understanding. The divine manifestations, as it were, have been heralded by experiences of spiritualists and laymen alike over time. And with this, I want to introduce a whole nother ideal into this, the so-called emergence of alien, we'll say, awareness in our culture and our society, though we now know that, again, that too has been carved in stone, has been left in evidence in archaeology, in both the ancient Egyptian culture and the Mayan culture, but also many other ancient civilizations around the world. But quite often, this understanding was separated, isolated to the realm of shamans and spiritualists, even though we can find evidence of lay people all over the world having experiences, seeing things, believing that they're being instructed of things by whatever you choose to call these entities right now. That is not central to the point that I'm trying to make in the short time that we have. But I believe that these events have created, if not all, most of our world religions, philosophies, and has been tapped and accessed using spiritual means since the beginning of time. Even Christianity, if we look at it metaphorically, talks about the return, God sending the comforter, if you will, or returning spirit. And then there's a later scripture in Revelation which talks about the Christ coming out of the sky, riding on a horse. And I don't want to digress too much, but many other examples of either a deity, a god, a force, something coming from another place, reemerging into our earth plane existence, into our reality. Ezekiel saw a wheel spinning in the middle of a wheel, in the middle of the air. And it describes in great detail what sounds to me like either an alien spaceship or some otherworldly craft. But whether they be otherworldly deity or beings from another dimension, there's something clearly out there that even our world governments are willing to invest millions of dollars as opposed to feed, house, clothe, provide health care for those who are already physically here on the planet. So at some most basic level, there's an awareness that there's something happening, something going on. It's often masked in our movies, in our books, in our so-called fictional depictions, as we use that as a tool to exercise our third eye awareness and our ability to see things outside our scientific realm of detection. If we look at the so-called infilling of spirit in Christianity, or the crowning of the head in Ifa and other deity-based religions, there's also an awareness of some force, some energy, some presence, having a direct linking and connection to us, and often through us. And in many ways, I do believe that this return, this infilling or connection begins with us, each and every individual one of us, at the most basic conscious level. Some of you may have heard me say before that I believe there's only a certain number of souls that could ever really inhabit the earth over time. And that has gradually, the number physically has appeared to develop, I believe, as more and more of us collectively return to further our evolutionary process, but also to sort of meet this unknown, undetermined timeline, if you will, before this process of recycling completes itself, at least here in this domain. And does anyone have this experience, perhaps, but not necessarily in any real understanding of it, but have you had this experience of, particularly creative people, of receiving inspiration, receiving understanding in a profound way, so profound beyond what you believe you may have otherwise have done or known on your own? I believe, too, that, again, as we move forward in this dispensation, as time moves forward, as the planet evolves and our spiritual awareness and consciousness revolves, we are also piecing together many understandings, many realities. We're almost playing catch up to some degree, because we're born into this world in all its conditions, often ill-prepared to move forward, but happen to do so literally from our first breath, from the time we exit our mother's womb. But we are also, at the same time, in the process of remembering and regathering our sea legs, as it were, our true selves, our true identity, that part of us that sticks with us through the cycles of reincarnation, repeating, recycling of life, of energy. And there was a time, if we can go back as far as we can in our imagination, if you will, in our inner understanding, there was a time when we were all in our most high divine formation, and then we entered this realm, this existence. And in so doing, however you choose to believe or understand, the planet was seeded with life. And I want to personally go on record by saying that I believe that humanity is a mix of more than one form of life. There was clearly a humanoid, if for lack of better words, created for the planet. But I believe there's also empirical evidence of intervention, whether you call that intervention divine, whether you call that intervention alien. There's clearly some level of understanding, awareness outside of our present level of knowledge that has involved itself in our spiritual process and our spiritual growth. And in religion and philosophy in particular have made attempts to make sense of that, often to the detriment of the masses, because someone ultimately wants to control the revelation, control the manifestation, zero it in to a specific bloodline, a specific family, a specific person, and basically for the control of the wider population. But ultimately, if we are looking at something that's coming from the outside in, it's definitely going to affect us globally, universally, and not so much individually. In return of the kings and gods, queens and goddesses, I'm not supposing that everyone, as often happens in stories of reincarnation, is a remanifestation of some great leader or some great pharaoh or some great king or queen. Not at all. But I am suggesting that we as light beings, as spirit, masked in flesh, have a divine origin for which we all have access to if we would just open up to it, surrender to it, allow it to reclaim us to some degree. Even in Rastafarianism, when we look at Haile Selassie and the belief that he was the manifestation and the biblical fulfillment of a long prophesied King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I believe true that we, again, have come back as our original selves, be it king, queen, priest, prophet, healer. There are many things, many gifts, many manifestations of the divine creator's presence here in this flexible, plastic earth plane existence. And I think it's foolish for us to try and limit it to one thing, try and confine it to something, to a book or to a person or to an item, as it were. I think it's human nature for us to try and condense things and try and simplify things to some degree. But as we move forward spiritually, but also in our knowledge and in our understanding, we must begin to open up to the possibilities of who we truly are, who we really are, why we're here, and what our ultimate purpose and destiny is. Over time, society has developed manners in which to communicate and to receive information, I believe, from not only the spirit realm, but these creator entities, will say right now for the conversation. Excuse me. And it has remanifested itself again in many ways, not only on an individual level, but also culturally in our society, through religion, through government, through belief system. So it's very important that we again, take the time to look beyond just the illusion of reality. There's a reason children are born gifted. There's a reason certain individuals are born with certain skill sets, certain talents, in some cases fully developed without any effort, without any previous lifelong study. So we must begin to look at time in a very different way, space in a very different way, spirit in a very different way, and not just in the confined way we do so right now. In opening ourselves to these higher frequencies, these higher levels of awareness, we must begin at the earth level, at the physical level. Study, reading, examining, not just one book, not just your book, but the many books, the many symbols, the many codes, pieces to the puzzle, to the mystery that are all around us in math, in religion, in literature, in fiction even. We must begin to open our third eye and begin to see the hidden messages all around us as they relate to our true identity and our true goal or path. And hoodoo and Obeah specifically stand out, I think, from other ATR-based paths because of our ability to access and open certain doorways and portals to allow certain spirits and certain information to filter down to us. I did some posts today on Facebook about Odudua. And as you remember me saying the other day, Odudua is the central deity in the path of Obeah. And in Obeah, Odudua is represented and recognized and served as a dual-sex deity, both male and female. But even as we, as I begin to trace the history of Odudua and its manifestation in other cultures, at some point, Odudua became male and was given the title and position as the creator, father of the Yoruba people of Nigeria. But even in the art, even in the depictions, you still see the presence of Odudua, the great mother, the female deity, which is truly who she is. Odudua literally is earth, is a representation of earth, of spirit. But the reason that I really began to contemplate that was as I looked at the symbolism of the headdress, I began to notice certain similarities to that in other cultures, the Aztecs, the Mayans, even in China, Japan, some of the other Asian but more indigenous cultures. There's always this representation of the slope in the head. I think it's probably most pronounced as we look at the time of Arkana, Akhenaten, and Nefertiti and how those heads were portrayed. But as we look around the world, we see some correlation between these gods, returning gods and kings and deities, and this almost alien-type slope of the head. And some think of it, you even see it in the Osiris headdress that's on the Block Talk Radio page now, where you have, you see him in the middle there with the white dress, the white outfit on, and how the crown sort of tilts back, and there's that exaggeration there, that sloping there, which I think at some primal level, identifies back to these creators, these returning deities, which may or may not be alien in nature, but at some point, these ancient cultures and civilizations became aware of them, made some contact with them, and that look began to filter its way down into other cultures, into other societies. Excuse me. There are a few ethnic groups in Central Africa, and of course those names escape me right now, where they actually bandage the head at birth to allow the skull and the plates to sort of grow together to mirror this, and I use the term alien for lack of better words, but this more evolved cranium. And it's often suggested that it too, because of just the sheer design of it, is symbolic of a awareness, an advanced activation of the higher chakra centers and energy centers in our heads, in our consciousness, from the third eye upward, those centers that we generally associate and relate to our ability to see and comprehend from not only a physical perspective, but a spiritual perspective. Because even what we see physically is just an illusion. Our eyes and our mind literally invert the image that our physical eyes pick up and kind of piece together based on our experience and our memory and create what we see as the full image in living color, as it were, in our head, in our mind, in our consciousness. So in moving on with hoodoo secrets and recipes, I think it's crucial that we begin to not only develop our ability to not only comprehend this understanding, this awareness, but be able to receive the messages and grow and evolve as we move forward in time to whatever awaits us and our destiny. And again, I've said this before, a profound tool that I've found to do so, and I think that's mirrored back again to us in ancient culture, is crystal and stone. These societies that have this, what I consider cosmic understanding, pointing to stars, mapping out buildings based on astrological alignments, you also see a presence of mineral resources, but not in the so-called material way we view them now, but in the ancient Egyptian burial of so much gold and silver and gemstones. And what does that mean? What was the purpose? It wasn't just, as some believe, to accompany them, to assist them into the afterlife. Surely the food, the provisions, some of those other more household-oriented, useful things may have symbolized that. But when we look at the gemstone presence, not only in ancient Egypt, in Mayan culture, in Aztec culture, in ancient Asian or Asiatic culture, we have to begin to put together also that there's a math being laid down there. There's a color pattern being laid down there. And for us who have studied and fully immersed ourselves in all the possibilities of crystal and stone and their usage, I believe two volumes, messages are being or were left in these stones to be received now at this time in our dispensation, in our awareness. indeed each and every individual crystallized piece has its vibration, has its math once you learn how to look for it and how to calculate it. But also in its usage in meditation and ritual and practice, they impart to us at a level that still is not fully understood by science directly to our consciousness, and assist us in fine-tuning what would already be present. We are but living, breathing crystal, vibrating, oscillating, vibratory vessels of light, sound, consciousness. And so they help us to attune as we grow and continue to play catch up to the higher vibrations, which are coming, whether we're ready or not, whether we resist them or not. I'm going to take just a quick break. I want to welcome and thank each and every one of you for being present here with me live and in the chat room here on Blog Talk Radio. I will be forward momentarily. Divine peace and blessings, joy and prosperity.
Afudai, bila bila,
nous
avons fait le chida. Non, non, mauvais dato, marele. Non, non, mauvais dato.
Bilalo!
Oh,
divine all blessing, peace, and love, hoodoo, wisdom, and understanding. Again, I want to thank each and every one of you for being present. Kalahat, Firewitch, special guest, Ja, Slim, Queen B1, a Tina C fan, Warm Summer Wind, and of course those of you who are also with me on the phone lines. Area code 912, I will come to you just momentarily, so please don't hang up on me. I just want to kind of tie up the loose ends real quickly. I will be completing, or not completing, but continuing this theme, the return of kings and gods, queens and goddesses. Of course, it just cannot be done all in one show, possibly not even a few shows. So I will be continuing Wednesday night during the two-hour live and an archive from New Orleans show here on Block Talk Radio. But before I go to the phone lines, I wanted to quickly share the link that I posted in the chat. And for those of you listening now via the remote players, you can always go to my Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Divine Prince, The Divine Prince. And you will write The Divine Prince as one word after Facebook.com/The Divine Prince. And I posted the link there as well. And it talks about more about 12/21/2012. Again, specifically from the Hopi and Mayan perspective. But another thing I like about this page is he also includes, and it's all there. It's very comprehensive, as Warm Summer Wind, I believe it was, said in his chat. The Torah, the Bible, the Book of the Tao, the Buddhist books, the Hindu books, the Quran, it's all there in a very comprehensive way on this one site, the different manifestations of this story, this theory, this understanding about what is actually happening now as we move forward to December 12, 2012, and what's changing. And I think what's central to the change, if I may say quickly, is the return of our original gods, goddesses, and spiritual understanding of that time. I think it's crucial as we move forward. We've almost come full circle, as it were. And the ancient prophecies all talk all over the world about the transfer of power from the masculine back to the feminine. And let me tell you, some people are really upset about that. But it's what it is, and we must begin to understand so that we can better prepare ourselves to move forward in this end time. So I'm going to now, in our last 10 minutes, open the phone lines. Area code 912. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Dana, and I'm from Georgia.
Peace and blessings. How can I assist you this evening?
I'm in a horrible situation. It's been going on for months, and I still got months to go. My current job, I'm in fear of losing it because actually it's in the hands of a lot of people now. They're going to make the decision whether or not I keep my job or not because of something that I was accused of doing, in which I did not. And I'm a teacher, so that makes it very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to a committee, and they have to vote on whether or not I should keep my job. And I love this job. It's the best job ever. I feel like I do a very good job at it,
mm-hmm.
and I can't imagine losing it. Is there anything I can do to help protect my job?
Absolutely, there is. And you're not only a first-time caller, but this is the first time you've ever heard my show?
Yes.
Yeah, and again, I greatly appreciate your calling, and I'm here to help you. But typically, I try not to do issues on air that are too personal. This is personal, and I don't want to expose your personal business like that on air. So I've muted your line, but you can still hear me. Just send me a request at my website, or even go directly to my King, you know, whichever you prefer, And I'll be glad to help you address that. I can definitely help you to address that. I just don't feel comfortable, again, airing that on the air. And then, too, we just don't really have a whole lot of time for me to really go into the details of that. But I'll definitely assist you with that, and I greatly appreciate your calling. And do please come back and join us again. I'm here every day at high noon, U.S. Central Standard Time, with the Power Lunch. And I'm also here on Saturday nights, like tonight, for Hoodoo Central, Hoodoo Secrets and Recipes, and also on Wednesday nights for 2 hours, where I do probably a combination of sort of what I do at all my shows. My high noon show is more of a affirmation and meditation. Saturday night is specific to instruction, recipe, actual usage. And I want to really tonight get into how we, again, access not only these spirit forms, spirit guides, as they re-enter and come through our plane of existence, but also how we activate those centers of understanding within ourselves and empower ourselves to operate within that frame of reference, within that field of energy. But for you, dear heart, I can definitely help you again. And my regular callers, they know what I'm talking about. I just don't want to, this is an archive show. This is forever. So you don't want to do personal stuff like that and have it public. You know, I tend to want to keep your confidentiality and not really share too much of that. And I'm already seeing into your situation. I was seeing it even as you were saying it. And so you know exactly what I mean. And I don't want to go into that live on air. But I will help you, and I greatly appreciate your being here and your call. And for each and every one of you who's present here with me tonight, you know me. I'm long-winded. I always run out of time. I will continue with this understanding and why this is important to us to understand. Many of you under the sound of my voice are just not getting what you should be getting right now. And there's a reason for that. And caller two, there is some level of reality to what was said in the chat. Sometimes we get comfortable and spirit will move us even against our understanding in that moment to where we need to be to really gain what's best for us. Sometimes what's convenient is not what's best for us. Sometimes what mom and daddy did or what has been conferred onto us is not necessarily what's best for us. So each of us has to be able to tap spirit ultimately for ourselves. I'm not here to breed codependence. Ultimately, I want people to grow to a level where you don't need to call a psychic. You don't need to call the hoodoo priest to fix what you would otherwise be able to fix for yourself. But while you're trying to get there, I'm here to assist you. While you're trying to overcome the blocks and learn what your true path is and how to access your true source, I'm here to assist you with that. That is my mission. That is my calling. I do it not only because it's who I am, what I am, but because I really don't have a choice to do anything else. And I think there's a profound message in that for anyone, not only within your career path, but your personal life path. Yes, Princess of Egypt, I do. And I typically do them on the shows where I have more time. Now, see, like, I only have 5 minutes now, so it would be very difficult for me to give you a comprehensive reading with the little time that we have left in the show. Now, I'll be here tomorrow at high noon, but only for 30 minutes. So if you can find the time, either go to my website and contact me, and I'll you know, I would gladly assist you off air. Or you can come back Wednesday night when I have 2 hours, and I'll be glad to address your question, comment, or concern. Yeah, I don't have a problem doing readings on the air. It's just very hard to do personal readings and hard to do them last minute. But I'm definitely here for you, Princess of Egypt, and I will be glad to assist you in any way I can, here or via my website or my Keen profile or even my live person profile. But most people prefer Keen for its convenience, and you typically can tell when I'm available, if I'm on a call or not, and I typically don't turn it off. So I'm here for you. I just don't have time to read you now live on the air in our last 3 minutes of the show. But again, I greatly appreciate the request, and come earlier in the show, particularly those of you who have questions or comments. Come earlier in the show. My Saturday shows are only an hour. My high noon daily show is only 30 minutes. My Wednesday night shows are 2 hours. So Wednesday nights are probably the best night. I can see you in queue. I know that people have requests, and I can make allowances to get to you. But other than that, again, reach me at www.houseofthedivineprince.com. Reach me on Facebook at www.facebook.com/thedivineprince. Reach me on Keen at www.keen.com/divine+prince. And until high noon tomorrow, I'm here with you and for you in your endeavors. Divine peace and blessings, joy and prosperity. All is indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test, one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. Divine peace and blessings, joy and prosperity. Ashe.
Get what's mine. Now I know all that the chosen are few. There's no mountain that I can't climb. Though the valley is so wide, I'll be always driving consciously through. So someday I'll find somewhere I can be free. Thank you.